too want to bring Christian greetings. Say it's good to been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's good to have all your visitors here, little home folks and others. It's just it was a blessing to see y'all here. Glad to have Shane here with us. I really appreciate the whole tenor of the service, how it all went together from the very beginning. The songs we sang, there on thanks, being thankful, and how much we have, what we have to be thankful for. You know, we are in the Thanksgiving season, and it's probably one of my favorite times of the favorite holiday. But it seems like to nominal society, it's kind of just one of those things that we get there, but it's just getting us to the next one almost. Get through it as quick as we can. And I don't know what you think of when you think of Thanksgiving. You know, what comes to your mind? You know, maybe it's turkey. Maybe it's family time. And I hope it's not the Friday afterwards. But, you know, I trust it's much more to us than that, than a day off work, a time of getting together for food, which is a time of preparation. But, you know, ultimately, it should not just be a day, an annual day of giving thanks. But I think it should be something that stirs us up and reminds us and renews that thankfulness, that spirit of thankfulness to God throughout the entire year. And I think it's great that we have a day set aside by this nation to give thanks. It was interesting to me to read, and I'm just going to read it here, George Washington's proclamation there, probably what kind of started the Thanksgiving Day. It wasn't put into place until quite a few years later. But he says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly to implore His protection and favor. Whereas both the Houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country." You know, what a statement. How important is thankfulness? You know, what does it do for us? What does an ungrateful spirit say about us? You know, we have so much, like we heard this morning already, to be thankful for what Christ has done for us, for the pardon that has been signed. If you want to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, is probably one of the first places we think of when we think of thankfulness. I appreciate where Kevin read out of Colossians there this morning. I just had to think, you know, the Apostle Paul lived what he preached. He just almost always started out with giving thanks for the group that he was speaking to, the church. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to start at verse 14, just to kind of get the context. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, the apostle here is giving a list of spiritual essentials. He plainly tells us, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, it's one of those passages that you don't leave your head scratching and wondering, you know, exactly what did he mean. We don't really have to compare it with other scriptures. It's just plainly there, in everything give thanks. You know, am I a thankful person? Probably in studying for this sermon, I saw myself clearer than I realized how ungrateful I have been, and how important it is to be thankful for. You know, we can find things to be thankful in almost any situation. In Luke, we have a story about a remarkable healing, the 17th chapter, a very familiar passage there about the lepers. I'm just going to read starting verse 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here 10 men came from a village to meet Jesus. And they can't approach him because they were lepers. You know, leprosy was a loathsome disease. You know, how would you feel today if you suddenly discovered that the bus you were riding in yesterday, or the plane you were in, had somebody that was diagnosed with Ebola? Or we would find out next week that somebody was right here this morning and they were diagnosed with that. You know, how would you feel? You know, leprosy was, you'd have a chance. That person had a chance of being healed, and you'd have a chance of not getting it. But, you know, leprosy was, there was no cure for it. And it was, in Bible times, it was regarded as a direct punishment from God. It was you were considered a sinner, spiritually unclean. And a leper in Christ's day couldn't live in a walled city. They had to live out in the villages or on out further than that. And he was required to cry, unclean, unclean, to warn those that he came, that they met, that they had this disease. They couldn't speak to anyone or receive or return a salutation because that involved, in their culture, that involved touching them. Their disease cut them off from every aspect of normal life. You know, they couldn't get a job. They were forced to beg often. We'll see what Jesus says. He commands them to go show themselves to the priest. As they were going, they were healed. 10 men are miraculously and gloriously healed, but only one returns to show gratitude. One turned back with a loud voice that says he glorified God. He fell down at his feet. Notice Jesus' question. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There's a lot we can pull out of this story, but I think it illustrates how hurtful ingratitude is. It's so easy to take the blessings that God has given us for granted. You know, maybe those other 9 saw they were healed. They ran to their families. They were, you know, could have all the blessings of normal life. They could sit down at the table and eat food with their family. They could interact. It was just wonderful. And, you know, they were probably, we want to go back. We're planning on going back. We want to go back and tell Jesus thanks. But, you know, they don't get it done. You know, is that the way, how often do we find ourselves in that same place? Now, thanksgiving does not come naturally. In Romans, Paul says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's in Romans 1:21. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives a list of some of the root problems of the human race, and ungratefulness is one of them. Now, gratefulness, well, it doesn't necessarily mean someone is a Christian, but is it too strong a statement to say that a person characterized by ungratefulness is not a Christian? I'm just throwing that out. Why? Why do we also often find it difficult to be thankful? I think often, you know, when we really think about something and we can actually pay attention to it, we are thankful for what we have or what we got. You know, just thinking of a gift. Brother Joe talked about gifts last Sunday. I believe that was last Sunday. It's been a long week. But, when we get a gift, look at what it is. We see the significance of it. Maybe just the thought behind it. We express gratitude, express our appreciation. You know, God has given us the greatest gift possible. You know, these are the thoughts that when we entertain, when we think of what God has done for us, that lead to thanksgiving. It's when we forget about that that we become ungrateful. If we think of thoughts of God, you know, Brother Steve, the passage he read there in Psalm 107, I just roughly counted, there's close to 8 to 10 times that it mentioned giving praise, thanksgiving. And it's just a beautiful passage. You know, when we start thinking of who God is and what he's done for us, his power, wisdom, his goodness, his grace, and his love, his care, you know, just a few things, the attributes of God, these things that we think of when we think of God and all he's done for us. But, you know, Paul, he says there in Romans 1, he brings out the part, you know, that, you know, when we know God, we don't glorify him as God, and then ungratefulness sets in. They're not thankful that they had the revelation of God. It almost seems like they wanted to push that back. They wanted to be the one. They wanted to be their own gods. And by acknowledging God who he is, we are, and seeing ourselves as we should, that changes the whole picture. We see our own insignificance. You know, we are nobody. We don't deserve anything we have. You know, we see our own frailty, our own sin, our own failures. Maybe it's a commitment to earthly things, you know, the things that become so precious to us. And we forget about the blessing, the beautiful gift that God has given, that he has, that what he's went through for us, making us accepted in the beloved, giving us the privilege to become sons and daughters. You know, it's in the light of that we should be led to think of our responsibility of gratitude to God. You know, redeemed. And that, I think that was in Psalm 107 there. It says, "For let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, we are all sentenced. We have that death sentence, but we have been redeemed. We have been, the pardon is there if we accept it. You know, but the cares and the things of this life so often choke that out, choke out the plant of gratitude, and our lives become unfruitful. And thanksgiving is really a product of careful cultivation. You know, it takes work. It's not something that just comes naturally. A deliberate resolve to think about God, think about who he is and who we are, and our privileges and our responsibilities. You know, how easy is it for you to let the little things in life irritate you and ruin your day? I know it's my part, it can happen very easily. Just to say little things. Maybe we think they're big things, but you know, often those irritations come from those that are closest to us. How about thanking God that they are here to irritate you? You know, maybe we'll find those irritations disappearing. Now, thankfulness and humility, I believe, are simultaneous. You know, you won't find humility without thankfulness. And you're hard-pressed to find thankfulness in a proud person. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, he said, "Pride slays thanksgiving, but an humble mind is a soil out of which thanks naturally grow. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." Pride slays thanksgiving, but an humble mind is a soil out of which thanks naturally grow. Pride says, "I've worked for what I have. Nobody ever gave me anything. It's mine. I've put a lot into this. I've worked for years. I've studied hard, and it's finally paying off." You know, that attitude feels it has no one to thank but itself. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a spirit of bitterness. Instead of being grateful, this person will always find something to complain about. This person also feels that somehow life has cheated them. Life isn't fair. And then who do we want to blame for our problems? We blame the Creator, the one who has given his all for us. Carelessness. You know, maybe that's where those lepers found themselves, just carelessness. They took the blessings they had for granted. Maybe we simply fail to recognize them. Ungratefulness feeds negativity. You know, we live in the beautiful Ozarks. Has somebody ever told you they just love it around here? It's beautiful. And you think, well, you know, what's the beautiful around here? You know, I don't see any mountains. I don't see the, or at least from where I live. Do you notice the trees, the fall colors? You know, every season has its own beauty. I know several years ago we were out west and I think it was the 1st of March or sometime. Anyway, after the winter starts getting kind of long, it's just been a beautiful snow. We were driving along through the mountains and the fence posts were covered, piled up with snow. Everything's just beautiful and white. And we got to the place we're going and, you know, we'd mentioned how beautiful it is. Well, what's beautiful? I mean, just another 8 inches of snow on top of the 6 feet we've had this year already or whatever. You know, we forget. We don't notice. These things just become commonplace. And I guess I probably can't blame them too much. If you're fighting it all for that long, you would get tired of it. But do we just take things for granted? You know, someone said that if the stars only came out one night a year, you know, everybody would stay up all night watching the stars and admire the awesomeness of it. You know, how often do we look up and just marvel at the stars and the greatness and all the galaxies, everything that's just in order there in the universe? Selfishness keeps us from being a thankful person. No matter what I have, I'm not satisfied. I want more. It's been said that ingratitude is an insidious sin which leads us down a path of spiritual stagnation. And negativity about life in general. Negativity about life leads to a bitterness about your circumstances. You see happy people all around you. You feel like God has cheated you. Bitterness leads to jealousy. You not only become bitter about your own life, but envious towards those around you who seem to be enjoying life. And what is the answer? Thankful prayer and praise is not an option for the believer. He says, "In everything give thanks," going back to Thessalonians there. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We notice Paul says "in." He doesn't say "for everything give thanks." What difference that would make in that verse? Give thanks for everything. He says "in everything give thanks." I think there's a fundamental difference. You know, there are difficulties, there are circumstances that we're not necessarily going to be thankful for. You know, there's serious illness. There's financial difficulties. There's death. There might be things we face because of of poor decisions of others. You know, but at the same time, we can thank God in every situation. You know, those times that He has made Himself plain to us, that He has, we can look back and we know that God was there. He is there. He cares about every difficulty, every struggle we face. You know, He wants to be a part of us. He wants to be there for us. And sometimes, you know, in a lot of situations, we can find something to be thankful for. And we're probably all familiar with Matthew Henry's situation when he was thieves held him up and took his purse. And he wrote in his diary, he says, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." So he found several things in a difficult situation there to be thankful for. But how often do we, when we lose a little bit of what we have, we, you know, it's very difficult for us to find anything to be thankful for. I had to think of another example of a man that gave thanks in the Old Testament, and that's Daniel. There in Daniel 6, we know the situation there. The princes, the others, his peers were wanting to get rid of him. And so they had the king sign a decree, a writing that he was, anybody that worshipped anybody else but the king would be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." But these men that wanted to get rid of Daniel, they knew how they could get rid of him. They knew enough about his character, they had the confidence he would not quit praying, even with a degree like this. Even if it meant facing those hungry lions. And they were right. The degree was made, it was signed by the king, and those jealous men found Daniel praying just as they thought. And I can understand that he would have prayed, but it would seem more natural for him to be petitioning God to protect me here. But it says he gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. And I'm sure he was petitioning God and seeking God, to asking God to for his protection. But a grateful spirit in the face of lions, when all his peers had turned against him, or at least enough of them that they were able to get this petition signed. You know, how much does it take for me to not give thanks? For me not to find something to be thankful about? I had to think of another story that this pastor would always get up, and when he prayed, he would thank the Lord and was very vocal in his thanks to the Lord. And one particularly stormy, nasty Sunday morning came in there, and one of his rather negative members were sitting there, and he thought, "Now I wonder what he's going to be thankful for today." And as he prayed, he said, "And Lord, just thank you that it's not always like this." So he found something to be thankful for. Andrew Murray said, "To be thankful for what we have received and for what my Lord has prepared is the surest way to receive more." You know, thanksgiving opens our lives to receive further blessings. It's more than just expressing appreciation to God for what He has given us. You know, a prayer of thanks to God is a statement of faith. You know, of those 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back. Jesus asked, "Where are the other 9? The stranger was the only one that came back and showed his gratitude. And he thanked Jesus for what he had done. And because of that, we notice Jesus' response. He said, "Arise and go thy way. thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, why did Jesus say that? Where were the other nine? Weren't they made whole also? Weren't they healed? Weren't they healed when they went to show themselves to the priest? But he told this one that came back, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, can't we put ourselves in the same place? You know, Jesus paid the price for our redemption. What are we doing to show our gratitude to him? I believe Jesus was talking about something far greater than a physical healing. He was speaking about a spiritual healing, something far greater than just getting rid of that old leprosy and that dreadful disease. This man had been made whole. Life took a new perspective. He met Jesus. Thanksgiving increases our faith. It's dependent on our faith, and it actually serves to increase our faith. In first part of 1 Thessalonians 1:2, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And I noticed there in Colossians this morning, the chapter that Kevin read said just about the same thing there about the Colossians. You know, Paul didn't write this book in a time of peace. They were facing tribulation. But he starts out with saying, we give thanks to God always for you. An ongoing spirit of thankfulness. You know, the more we cultivate a spirit of thankfulness, the more thankful we will be and the more our faith will grow. Thankfulness doesn't come naturally. Like we mentioned before, you know, as parents, we know it can be difficult to get our children to say thank you sometimes. Get them to say thank you without being told. And sometimes it can be a thankless job. But I wonder sometimes if we as adults would be a better example, maybe it would be easier for them. You know, is it just normal for you fathers to say thanks for the meal after the meal? Or is it only when it's the special meal, the meat and the potatoes, or whatever it is? You know, sitting down at a table laden with food might be easy to give thanks, but what about, the Apostle Paul says, in everything, in all circumstances, whatever the circumstances are. And sometimes it may seem like we have nothing to be thankful for. But like the leper, every child of God has ultimately been healed. And we have a glorious hope that we can look forward to. Like the song we sang there this morning, the third song. And we serve a sovereign God, the creator of all things, the one that every good thing comes from. You know, I think Thanksgiving is probably the best antidote to depression. You know, and antidepressants prescriptions are the most commonly prescribed medicines in the U.S. And I'm not here to say there's not a one-size-fits-all. I'm not here to say it don't have its place. But it seems like there's a reason the Apostle Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. There's a connection between joy and thankfulness. If we have the joy of the Lord, we cannot help but be a thankful people. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those are the kind of things that I believe thinking on those type of things is what will make the soil, how should I say, fertile for a thankful heart. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. One thing I thought was interesting, Wikipedia says that the rate of the antidepressant medic prescriptions went up, seriously soared in 2009, and they attribute that to the recession. So is it the recession? Is that the problem? Or was it maybe because of things suddenly changed and we have find themselves in a tough situation and gratefulness is gone? I don't know. That's just something to think about. Does Apostle Paul know what he's talking about? Didn't he have a reason to become discouraged if anybody did? Look at his past. Look at the things that he regretted. And then look at the persecutions he suffered where he was now. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know, Paul's thorn wasn't removed. He faced hunger, rejection, prison, shipwreck, beatings. You know, there's a passage there that gives his whole list of things that he faced, but he says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." You know, the attitude, that the way we look at things just make a huge difference. And I know I can say that just from experience in the last day or two, just thinking, you know, as I was this past week thinking about Thanksgiving and faced things that I felt like letting irritations come. But if you turn around and just find something to be thankful for there, it just kind of changes the whole picture. I'd like to read some verses here. Yet in closing, Brother Steve, I had one. The one was the one Brother Steve read there in Psalms 107, verse 2. Psalms 103, 2 to 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, when we think of what God has done for us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, you know, ultimately, that's where we're going to be. We don't have the promise that everything's going to be good for us in this life. But, you know, if we endure life is such a short little space. You know, the Apostle Paul, how many years has that been since he wrote these epistles? You know, from that time till now, he's not suffering, he is facing. He is sitting around the throne. He's enjoying the blessings that he was talking about. Now, Kevin mentioned Francie this morning. You know, that's probably one of the biggest things that stands out to me. You know, you could give her a little, just a very little something that was of little monetary value, but she was so grateful, so thankful for it. You know, I think that's should be a lesson to us all, a challenge to us all. You know, what does it take? What does it take for us to be thankful people? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Ephesians 5, I'm going to start at verse 1 there. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint's. I just read those first three verses there. It's kind of to get the context of it. And then he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. But what's the antidote? But rather, giving of thanks. You know, what a contrast there. It just, that really jumped out at me. I'd never really thought about that, how he names all these sins, and then he goes, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks, the giving of thanks. Psalm 119, 62, and at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. There's a sign on a church sign somewhere. It seems like it was down toward Mansfield, but it said instead of counting sheep, when you wake up at night, talk to the shepherd. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know, what do we do when we wake up? I think it's a real blessing to praise and to thank God, and to, when we have the count that as opportunities. And the last one, Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now that's that is what we can look forward to. That's what the child of God can look forward to, the one that has accepted that pardon that has so freely been given. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before thee again this morning. We thank you for your great love to us. We thank you for the plan of salvation, for the hope that we can have in you. We pray, Father, that we might just see you for who you are and see, be able to grasp your greatness and your goodness and what you have done for us and the gift that is there available for each one. Just help us all, Lord, to seek your face and to just be completely open to you, transparent, be willing to do whatever you ask us, and to have grateful hearts for your love and for the hope that we have in you. Just pray that you might be with those that couldn't be here because of sickness or other reasons. We just pray that you might grant healing, pray that you might grant strength, courage. We pray for those that have lost loved ones recently, and just be near to them and grant comfort and strength to this time. Just pray that you might have your will in this service, and your blessing might rest upon it, and that you might get all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.